In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thanks so much for joining us. And happy Friday and happy New Year, everybody.
Yay!
2019.
2019's over. Yay.
Yay. Let's meet the crew. I'm Brett Molina. I play video games, and I chose the Thompson twins in Black Mirror Bandersnatch.
I'm Brian Truitt. I'm a film critic, and I chose yeah instead of just yeah.
Sorry to our producer.
Sorry. No, I'm not. I'm not as sorry.
I'm Kelly Lawler, TV critic, and I chose Frosted Flakes instead of Sugar Puffs.
Or Frosties.
Excuse me.
Frosties. Let's get the British terminology right.
Frosties.
If this is your first time listening to us, welcome. New episodes of Mothership drop every Friday, and you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you like to listen. While you're on Apple Podcasts, we would love it. It would be a great way to start our new year if you could write a quick review about the show. It helps other fans who love nerdy pop culture find us. As a bonus, we will give you a shout out on the next episode. Seriously, it works out perfectly for everybody. It's great, and we love the feedback. Don't forget, along with leaving a review, you can also get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at Mothership Pod. You can also send us an email to mothershippod@usatoday.com. Today, we're choosing our own adventure and probably death, talking Black Mirror Bandersnatch, Netflix's new entry into the sci-fi Black Mirror anthology that comes with a twist. It's interactive. It's an interactive choose-your-own-adventure story. Like the 80s and 90s books, the viewer makes choices for the characters along the way. And because, of course, it's Black Mirror, things get really scary and more complex the more you impact the story. Netflix has used this technology mostly on animated kids shows, so this is the first time they've done it in adult live-action programming. Bandersnatch launched last Friday and has shaken the internet for most of the weekend. We've all watched a version of it, so we're going to talk about it here and just kind of talk about what we thought about everything.
Who watched all the endings first among us?
I got most of them except one, which we'll get to later, but I know what happened.
Brian and Brett rose their hands on the podcast.
On an audio podcast,
we do,
yes.
That's what we do here, because we are old school. We yeah, raise hands.
We're old people.
When we're going to talk.
I only watched the one ending I got when I watched it. That was it for me.
So let's break down the tech real quick. So it's basically just, it's really simple with your remote. You have two choices, and you use your remote to go left or right, and you pick which choice you want.
But you couldn't even use it on Apple TV.
That was a bummer.
That was weird.
I had a Roku.
It was not supported by Apple TV or Chromecast, Netflix said in the press release. They also said that there were 1 trillion possibilities, but that was a mathematical reality and didn't actually affect the number of paths there were. Which didn't make any sense to me, but I guess that's the exponential end when you multiply all the choices together.
Yeah. And I think last I have checked, Roku is kind of the dominant device right now in terms of streaming.
Not Apple TV?
The thing about Roku is because it's independent of like an Amazon or an Apple, they just kind of have a little of everything. So I think a lot of people tend to go Roku. Plus their devices are much cheaper. I think an Apple TV starts at $149.
Yeah.
You can get a Roku for $30. So I think Roku's kind of got an edge there. So I think, you know, most people who watched it probably were okay. But what did we think of the tech? Kelly, we'll start with you, our TV guru. What did you think of the tech itself?
So I've used it on the children's programming. I reviewed that. I wasn't just watching Puss in Boots myself.
Sure, Kelly.
Sure. Right. Right.
I thought it was very well edited. From choice to consequence. It was pretty seamless to me. I didn't notice anything. I liked that the aspect ratio changed just before a choice was coming up. So you got a visual cue that was not particularly distracting that you were going to have a choice. You know, I thought it was nice and minimalist. It didn't mess with fonts. It was all pretty good. It's definitely better than it was in the kids' programming. But I will say in the kids' programming, it was like at least a year ago, if not a year and a half ago, when they first debuted it. And so clearly they've had some time to fine tune, and it was like kind of crappy animation anyway. And so it just looked worse. So, I mean, but clearly it's something that they've executed from a purely technological standpoint very well.
Brian, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was great. The only thing, my quibble was it took so long. Like, you know, you made your choice and then you have to wait like another like 15 seconds, I feel like, for it to finally like catch, you know, for like the little thing to get to the point where it then goes to the, you know, to your chosen path or whatever. So I felt like that was a little long. I guess people, you know, cheaty from like a good place would take that probably that long and more to like make a decision. But, you know, I didn't, you know, it's just like, okay, well, I made my decision. Now I have to wait like another 15 seconds for it to figure itself out.
This is cheaty from the good place's literal worst nightmare.
Oh, I can't imagine him watching this.
If he wasn't already dead, this would kill him.
Most likely. So in terms of the story, do you think that it helped or hindered it? The Choose Your Own Adventure also goes into like adventure games and stuff like that. And we've seen it most recently with Telltale and The Walking Dead and Batman, some of the other stuff they've done. Even games like Mass Effect have done this too, where it's like you make these choices and they kind of impact how the rest of the story goes. I think that's what I struggled with Bandersnatch, which is the choices that were presented, I don't think were as powerful in terms of the decision I had to make. So, and it almost felt like at times the way that it picked the, because what it does is when, you know, the choices come up, it almost defaults to one choice. And it weirdly felt like it was kind of leading you toward a choice that would take you through the main story a little bit.
It kept wanting you to kill Dad.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. I don't, you know, but I think you have to go back to go to the old Choose Your Adventure books, because the story was not really a story. I mean, this is not really a story. It's more about the experience. It's more about the meta stuff of like somebody's controlling this person and they freak out because they wonder if they're actually being controlled or are they in, you know, in their, do they have any, you know, kind of agency at all in their life? I think it's more about that than the actual story. Cause you know, you look at those old Choose Your Adventure books. And I mean, I would go and read other kind of endings just like they have you do. And it was never about the story. It was about the kind of the experience of doing this. And that's what I feel like they kind of really did a good job. Well, they captured that experience of like when I was a kid of just like the interestingness of like going from past to past to past and of consequences, but then adding in the layers of like meta-ness that Black Mirror does so well.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't watched it, the story is about, it takes place in 1984. It's about this young adult who is trying to adapt a book, a Choose Your Own Adventure book called Bandersnatch, into a video game and turn it into a Choose Your Own Adventure game. And I don't know, as a story itself, it wasn't really that compelling to me, like Brian said. I do think that definitely mirrors the Choose Your Own Adventure books. And the whole leading you thing also is definitely that, because I remember very specifically this one time, it was like, do you drink salt water or don't you drink salt water? Obviously, there's a right answer there. You drink salt water and then that's the end and you have to go back and like start again. So, you know, that I agree with Brian. It's more of an experience than like a TV show. But at the same time, it's presented as a TV show. So like watching it just in that lane, I felt it was completely incomprehensible.
I disagree. And in fact, I don't think it's presented as anything. I don't think it's presented as a film or a TV show. I think it's presented as an experience. It kind of makes it clear early on, because like one of the first thing after you get past the little Frosties, when you're presented with the thing of like, oh, should you take this, you know, guy's offer to make your video game? And of course, everybody says yes. And then the character said that was your first mistake or something, or like that was the wrong path.
Mm-hmm.
That's really smart. So I think, you know, it's more about the experience than just kind of like the story. It's not like a Black Mirror episode where there's like a beginning, middle, and end, and, you know, twist in there too. It's more about kind of the experience, and there's like little things that are Black Mirror-ish and little things that are kind of TV-ish and movie-ish. But I feel like it's kind of its own thing.
I think part of the problem I had is I didn't want the story to stop and me have to kind of backtrack. And I felt like I was doing that a lot. And I feel like with more sophisticated stuff, like, you know, I talked about The Walking Dead and Telltale and stuff, you make a decision, but you keep moving forward. But that decision kind of comes with you. And so it impacts how the rest of the story goes. And then you make other decisions and those all branch off. But it never is. It's not like you hit a wall and then you have to go back to see what actually happened, instead of, oh, I chose to, you know, sign with the studio, now it's over. And now I have to go back and see.
But
what
they give you another chance at things, too. You know, even after, once you get to the end, they're like, they let you go back and do certain things if you want to. Or you can just go to the credits if you're like done with it.
Yeah.
But I think Telltale's a little bit different in the fact of like you have sometimes four different things to like to do. And you're right. Everything stays with you. Your decisions stay with you. But that's almost like, I don't know. I don't know how they could have done like a Black Mirror version of that, because it would have probably taken them like 5-6 years.
Well, one thing that bothered me is that at least in the path that I took, and I did have him work at the video game company, when he fails in the end of that, he's like, I'm going to do it again. And then it just time reverses and no one knows why. And it's never explained. And it's not a choice that the viewer gets to make. And like, there's just little stuff like that, that I feel was trying to be like a more typical Black Mirror episode that kind of didn't necessarily fit in with the whole choose your own adventure thing. And then stuck with me for the rest of the time. I was just like, okay, so he's a time traveler, right? Like, or something.
But then they had cues too, where the main developer guy, the famous guy, was like, haven't I met you before?
And he's right.
Like, yeah.
And that just bothered me. And I think the other thing that bothered me is eventually the main character starts to figure out that someone is controlling him, like Brian said. And you have a choice whether to present yourself as the controller as like this demonic symbol or as Netflix.
And I thought that was great. I absolutely love that. I absolutely love that. Because it was just like, it's again, it's not a TV show. It's not a movie. It's like these people are in a world that is being controlled by us.
I hated that. I don't know. As someone who watched those Christmas movies and watching them in the Princess Switch, watch Netflix's A Christmas Prince. Netflix is up its own. Sorry, producer, a lot. And so to me, that was just like one too many. And then it's like he's on a TV show and you see him on a film set, but they called him Mike. The actor's name is Fionn Whitehead. So like, obviously they weren't going far enough with that for me. And then also it just disappears. I don't know. I guess it's because I'm not like a video game person that I couldn't help trying to connect it myself, even though it was like meant to be disconnected. And so I think it really hindered the experience for me.
So this gets to a big question, too, because this kind of broke the internet for most of the weekend. It's like, is it a game? Is it a TV show? What is this thing? Or is it a movie? Like,
it's none of those things. It's none of those things. And it's all of those things. That's where I think kind of Netflix is kind of cool in the fact of like, nothing's really cut and dry anymore. So they're trying to create their own entertainment and they're trying to create their own kind of like niche. Like everybody watched Bird Box for some reason, over the course of like a few weeks. You know, they have all these eyes on them, so they want to try something new. Was it perfect? No, but I think the fact of like the experience was pretty seamless and it was kind of its own weird little thing kind of worked for it. And I think that's why everybody kind of grabbed everybody's attention. Like everybody put up, you know, when they had those, oh, should I pick Frosties or Sugar Puffs or whatever? Then they have like the sweating Jordan Peele GIF, you know. Yeah. I think that's kind of the thing that feeds into what they're trying to do is like trying to find something that everybody's going to have something to talk about.
So would you call it a TV show or would you call it something else?
I mean, so in my Netflix press release, they called it a Black Mirror event.
Oh, that's something.
That's something. I mean, had they made a thing that was an hour and a half, which is the average time, according to Netflix, that it took you to go through it, I would probably call it a Christmas special, which they've done before in the past. I mean, I don't know. One thing that bothered me about it is that I think in other times we've talked about like fandom and like the internet on this podcast, we've talked about like some of the negatives of it and like the toxic stuff. One thing that bothered me is that the whole like different endings thing made people race through this to find out what the endings were. And the choices in Choose Your Own Adventures, there's often like a right one and a wrong one. Like, I got an ending where he died, so did I lose? It, like, makes TV into an experience where you can win or lose, and there's a right answer and it's a wrong answer, and I don't like looking at TV that way. You know, you think about The Sopranos ending, like, maybe that's kind of like a Choose Your Own Adventure without any technology on it. You don't know what happened at the end. I don't want there to be a right or wrong answer to that question. The beauty of that moment to me is that it's left up in the air. That's what makes The Sopranos ending amazing. So, you know, that's what I don't love about it, that it that it is closer to sort of a video game in terms of the idea of doing it, of something being right or wrong.
And there's all kind of levels of wrong, though.
I mean, yeah, definitely levels of wrong. But I mean,
there's,
I feel like
sometimes he dies, you know. I think there's all kind of, there's never a right. I mean, I think it's Black Mirror, because so it's all levels of wrong. You know, it's just like, well, sometimes you die. Sometimes you go to prison. You know, sometimes you just, you know, you just walk off and never do anything. You know, I think it's all kind of very different levels. So it's almost taking what you were talking about, kind of like that right, wrong, anything, and kind of blowing it up and being like, well, here's five different things. Make of it what you will. It's, and none of it's very pleasing, you know, but it's right. It's very us.
Yeah. I guess it's just like, I don't like seeing television as people look at Game of Thrones, for instance, and they're trying to figure out what's going to happen. And then they get to be right and superior as opposed to just sort of enjoying it as it comes along. That's the kind of mentality that I don't like. And this totally feeds into that, even if it's like morally bad most of the time. Also, I went to prison and died. Go me.
But that gets to a broader point, is why are we watching TV and movies? We're just wanting to kind of passively engage and enjoy it and not have to be too actively involved in what happens. And so it's part of the reason why I can see people being turned off by it, is because you just kind of want to have the story that's there and enjoy it for what it is, and or not enjoy it for what it is. And there you go. Now, story itself, Kelly, what did you think? Did you like the story in general? I mean, setting aside a lot of the tech and the interactive stuff.
I mean, like, it seemed like kind of a subpar Black Mirror story without the weirdness going on. What I thought would have been cool is if they gave, because, like, they personify the controller, you, the viewer, when you decide if you're Netflix or the monster, and they give you dialogue as you're explaining to him what you are. I wish they would have taken that way further and, like, allowed him to, like, confront a controller. Maybe that was a 21st century person who kind of looks like, you know, an average Netflix viewer. That would have been really cool. I really wanted them to push that aspect of it more, because the way that they presented the like meta Netflix stuff was small enough that it bothered me, because it felt like product placement as opposed to like, you know, something more exciting. I mean, what is interesting and is totally lost in the shuffle because of the interactive stuff is that this is actually the first Black Mirror episode, story, whatever, set in the past. San Junipero was tricked you into thinking that it was going to be set in the past, but this one is actually set in the past, and that's cool. I would love them to do more stuff in the past. Technology didn't get scary, you know, in 2010.
Yeah. Brian, what did you think story-wise?
I think it's more about the experience than the story. The story is fine. I mean, I think it's more about kind of like, it's not, you know, there's no beginning, middle, there is a beginning, middle, and end, but it's more about kind of like the, here you are. You know, you're this guy who's trying to get a video game made. You know, you love this thing because your mom loved it and all, everything. But then it kind of like it starts with a story, or like a setup to a story, and then kind of does all these other kind of things to it. So it's not really kind of like a conventional story. It's more about kind of like the, you know, taking paths and, you know, kind of where does it lead you? Where does this setup lead you to? So, again, it's more about the experience than the actual story. I don't think we can compare it to like, again, a Black Mirror episode where there is, you know, there is a story to be told, there's character arcs, twists, and things like that. It's not really about that. It's about kind of like, it's more like real life, where kind of like you don't know what path you're going to take. But if you take this path, you're going to end up in jail. If you take this path, who knows what's going to happen to you? So it's less about storytelling and more about just kind of like the experience of hyper-realist tendencies, or whatever you want to call kind of like, it's kind of like the meta level of everything.
Yeah, I don't know. I was, you know, this when I was watching this, it reminded me a lot, again, like I said, about like The Walking Dead and a lot of these Telltale games, because, you know, the choices they gave you were a lot more stark. Like the first season of that game, I remember, you know, spoiler alert if you haven't played it, but it's been out for a while anyway.
You should play it.
I know. But it was like, I think the second or third episode, there's a moment where there's two characters, and one of the characters has a son, and his son gets infected. And so you have to decide, do you try to help his son and cure him, or do you kill him because you know he's going to turn and it's like there's no point of no return. So you're having to make a really difficult decision about what to do, and you have to agonize over it. And when you make the decision, it then sets off this chain of events that leads to the next thing. And then that sets off a chain of events. I was not a fan of the hard stop where it was like, oh, whoops, you you hit the wrong one. Now you got to go back and rewind and see what happened. That was the other thing that I didn't like, which is the constant rehashing of what happened. It's like, I've seen it already. I don't need you within like 10 minutes to tell me what happened. I already know now.
That's kind of one of the things I wish they would have kind of done technically, is have some way to like fast forward a little bit so that, you know, if it was clear that you were kind of going back and like revisiting something, just kind of like fast forward a little bit and then get to the part where you needed to. They did it a little bit. They kind of like, there was kind of like flashy moments, especially kind of like when he wakes up kind of in his bed, and he's going to go through like to this, to his old, his kid bed and to the other, you know, the kind of the third bedroom where their toy is at. There was a little bit of that, but there could have been more. It could have been a little faster.
I also didn't like the choices where you chose between two different versions of the same action. Like, I got one where it was throw tea on the computer or destroy the computer, something like that.
It's basically the same thing.
It's the same thing. And I was like, you know, I understand where, like, they're limited in the number of choices that you can give. Like, there are plenty of times where I was like, if I was doing this, I wouldn't do anything. Like, when they're on the balcony. I don't know if you guys got that, but yeah. It's like me jump, Colin jumps. I was like, I would pick nobody jumps, but I understand for the sake of this, somebody's got to jump. But when it's just, like, destroy your computer this way or that way, I'm like, that's, like, kind of lame. You're not really affecting how the story goes.
Well, that was a little bit different because it was, like, throw your tea over the computer. Didn't destroy the computer, but like destroy the computer was like the one thing that would like end. That was like a game over kind of thing.
Oh,
automatically.
I did not get that.
Yeah.
But again,
spoiler alert, I guess if people haven't like, even if they're still tuned in, you know, they haven't
we'll
spoiled
throw
everything
a spoiler
them.
Alert in but, here but in the description.
But I mentioned this earlier where it's like, it's almost guiding you to the choice that you kind of should make that takes you through what the main story is. Because like when you got to that decision where it's like, I jump or he jumps, I think it defaulted to him jumping and it was like, I could have gone to me. But then again, I'm thinking if I pick me, the story ends and then
yeah.
I gotta go back
and
through it again.
Right. Yeah.
And so I'm going to pick the other one because I want to see what happens later. Then it gets to that whole thing again.
I mean, things are there for if you want to do like do the Kelly and just kind of like go through one iteration of it and then just stop and go, you know, go watch one at a time or something. But there's also the other time of like, okay, well, I want to see like every version of this. And so, I mean, it's kind of there for everybody to kind of do whatever they want to do.
So did we all go through and see multiple, all the paths and stuff? I went through most of them. I didn't go through everything.
I did not. But I will say I was on deadline. So
well, that's totally understandable. So what were some of the endings everybody got? I got the one, it was the one where he ends up in jail. And so I think he's watching a review of his game when it's finally done.
And he gets like 2.5 stars and he's pissed off about it.
Yeah.
From the video game reviewer guy.
Who everybody
like,
wanted to punch
who everybody
in the face.
Wanted to kill instead of like the guy's dad.
Yeah.
I got that, but then I kept going. So I saw that as a possible ending and so that confused me because I got to there, but then I kept going and I went back into his childhood and got to choose. And then he did find the rabbit. But then they were still on the 8:45 train. So I told him to go with his mom because I was just like, eh. Like, less guilt this way. And so then he dies on the train. And then in the present, he's in therapy. And he just, like, conks out. And he's
and
dead.
And dies, yeah.
I got the one where he's in therapy, too. But this part, actually, I thought was one of my favorite bits where, you know, I think they were talking about the choices that you make and they, you know, it felt like they needed more action and stuff. And did you want more action?
I was my own, I think of my favorite.
And the
part.
Options was yeah. And so you'd say yeah. And then they do this crazy ass action scene, which is fantastic.
I chose yeah.
Yeah.
What happened with yeah? I never even
it's
saw it.
It's the same
yeah.
thing as both.
It's the same. Oh, it's yeah. the same as both. It was really good though. It was really well done. At least that part. Do you think this format works? Is it something you want to see again? Do you want Black Mirror to try this again? Do you feel like,
I don't want Black Mirror to try it again.
I could see him doing it if it was, say, a season and they had a couple episodes and the decisions actually meant something and had impact and carried over to where you actually did feel like you were kind of controlling how the story went.
I don't know how they could ever do that.
It would be near impossible because, like you said,
I think,
it would take
forever to
film.
I think that's something that's like, it's a video game. Kind of, video games are special because they can do that. But I just do not see how they could like do that with a TV show or any kind of like thing with actors.
Yeah, I think especially for the essence of Black Mirror as a franchise, I think repeats are bad for it. So I really wouldn't want to see this from Black Mirror. I don't really want to see this from anything else for adults either. I think it's really fun for kids programming. I think it's also good for kids because I believe that if there's some type of response from a screen, it's better for their mental development than if they're just passively watching something. So that's great. All for it for them. But this is the kind of thing where, yeah, I'm glad I tried it in this Black Mirror episode, but I could really live without doing it ever again. Mm-hmm.
And I think from what I remember on the kids' shows, like, the choices were pretty straightforward. So it wasn't like the show ended and they had to, like, backtrack. It was like, I don't know.
Climb a tree, don't climb a tree.
Exactly. And it wasn't, you know, it didn't affect anything in a major way. So.
And they're like 20 minutes long. They have the ability to animate more clearly and fully the different paths because they don't have to fill 90 minutes. So, you know, I think the choices can be more impactful too.
Yeah. Okay, listeners, your turn. We want to hear from you. Did you watch Bandersnatch? Did you like it? What ending did you get? Let's talk about it on Twitter. You can find us at Mothership Pod. You can also tweet at us individually. I'm at Brett Molina 23.
I'm at Brian Truitt.
And I'm at Kalawls, K-L-A-W-L-S.
Don't forget, you can email us too. We're at mothershippod@usatoday.com. That will do it this week. Our first podcast of the new year, guys.
Yay, we did not screw up anything.
Woohoo!
Thanks so much for joining us. Special thanks to our pilot/producers of the Mothership, Shannon Green and Natalie Boyd. If you like the podcast and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe to the Mothership for free. While you're there, how about you leave us a rating or a review? It'll help other people find the show, and we love the feedback. It's greatly appreciated. If Apple Podcasts aren't your thing, you can find us too on SoundCloud, Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. That'll do it. Until next week, nerds out.
Later.
Bye.
So in terms of the story, do you think that it helped or hindered it? My